By request, Adam Stanley's favorite song. He is in the mix. Glow sticks in hand, ready to talk golf. Mr. Stanley, how are you?
I'm very good. You've never seen me dance with glow sticks, but I can break it down. I'm pretty good.
Yeah, I the white gloves, too. And, yeah, apparently just right there all night, sweating incredibly. Kind of like Shane Lowry's last 24 hours, about?
Shane Lowry was probably sweating a very, very large amount last night over a lot of Guinness.
What an incredible major. How did you soak it all up, and what were your thoughts on the tournament? It's not often you see incredibly nasty weather coming and a four-stroke lead. That's a comfy position to be in, but nothing safe in the kind of conditions we saw yesterday either.
No, and it was so fascinating because the drama was kind of sucked out of the Open Championship by the time we got to the back nine. But that's just when the weather was coming in, and that was kind of the time when you thought, well, maybe something was going to change here. Maybe some of these guys who were supposed to be chasing could actually come back into this championship, but they couldn't. They just couldn't do it. Shane Lowry was just much too steady. The guy was wearing short sleeves in arguably the worst weather of the week, and I don't know how you're going to take down a guy who can come out there, wear short sleeves in the cold and the wind and the rain. It just wasn't going to happen. I thought Brooks Koepka was going to come out to a good start and make a move. He did not. He did the opposite of that. I thought Ricky Fowler was going to be another guy to come out early, make a move. He did not. He had his first shot of the day out of bounds. It was just one of those tournaments where a four-shot lead from a guy was just insurmountable. And, you know, the things were going against Shane Lowry. He was the last guy to lose a four-shot lead at a major. He did that in 2016. You know, he woke up in the morning and he said, you know, he had these thoughts that he didn't think he was able to ever win the major championship. But he did it. He went out there. He just played better than anyone. And the win was celebrated by those in Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. It was one of those united by sport situations.
Interesting to hear those comments, the little bit of doubt remaining. That's pretty candid, and it's not what we expect to hear from a guy that won one of the most difficult tournaments in golf.
No, I mean, the fact that he admits in his press conference afterwards that he's like, I don't know if I was ever able to win a major championship. And I think that that's admirable. You look at Shane Lowry, you know, physically, and you think, hey, that looks like a guy who should be tending a bar or, you know, maybe playing in my weekend foursome. And you look at him mentally, and he's coming out there and he's admitting that he doesn't know if he's got the fortitude to do it. And he just becomes so relatable. And I think that that's why his win kind of touched a lot of people. His win was one of those ones where you just think, man, this is good for golf. And you look at how he celebrates and you think, yes, this is the kind of guy I'd like to have a beer with and hang out with. And, you know, although there was no drama on a Sunday, there was a very good winner, a relatable winner. And I think that that's what makes golf so special.
He seems like a guy that you say, a guy looks like he could be in your weekend force. He looks like a darts guy, which, you know, he could be on that circuit that passes around the United Kingdom and then goes up to Holland, 180, and people are holding signs and slamming pitchers of beer. And all he needs is a weird haircut and some sort of nickname and like the Python. And he's there. That's what he looks like.
I mean, I think that beard, I think I've seen guys on that dart circuit that are rocking beards like that. And it's pretty impressive. And I think Shane Lowry, you're right. He's right there. He's one step away from knocking in a triple 60 and being done with this.
Who are you impressed with that didn't win? Because clearly Lowry's the story of the tournament. But, you know, we saw Brooks Koepka nearly do the unthinkable, which is to finish top three in all four majors in a calendar year. I think only Tiger and Nicholas, it's a very exclusive list. That's very, very short. He's one stroke away from joining that group in history. But there were some other interesting performances at this event. Tommy Fleetwood was right there for a lot of the weekend.
He was. And I think other than Fleetwood, who finished second, I think there are two names that really stood out for me that I was impressed with this week. Tony Finau is one of them. It just seems like he is a guy who is going to win a major eventually. He just happens to perform super well on the biggest stages in the sport. He hasn't won very much on the PGA Tour, which is also kind of weird, but I think it's going to be one of those things where once the floodgates open, he's going to be a guy to be reckoned with. And the fact that he was the only golfer out of the last five groups to finish at even par or better, that really kind of shows the kind of mental fortitude that he has and the strength that he can kind of muster up in some really tough conditions. So super impressed by Tony Finau. And quickly, I was also very impressed with Lee Westwood. I mean, this is a guy who has, you know, seen his prime pass him by. He's, you know, in his mid to late 40s now, and he didn't play all that well on Sunday, but he hung in there, and the fact that he finished in the top four got him back into the Masters next year for the first time in a couple of years. Hasn't been there for a few seasons now. So to see him hang in there and do it and get this result and prove that he can still play at a high level, get himself back into the Masters, really impressive stuff from Lee Westwood this week.
What did you make of Brooks Koepka and his comments towards J.B. Holmes? This was a disaster waiting to happen. We saw it on Saturday when all the third round action was complete, that we knew these two would be paired. And we know that one is, well, more like a snail out there, and the other has zero patience for slow play. Some pretty good quotes yesterday.
I loved it. I thought it was great. People can say what they want about Brooks Koepka, and I tend to agree that when he comes out there and says, you know, I don't really practice, I don't really, you know, play a lot of golf unless you see me on TV, it does make him hard to root for. But when he comes out and shoots it straight and says, you know, this was ridiculous, and when he gets over the ball, he's okay. This is Koepka talking about Holmes. But all of the interim stuff, the guy, he doesn't have his glove on, he's not doing anything, he's not preparing while you're hitting, you know, that is it's a real call out of another golfer. And I don't really think you would see that week to week PGA Tour event. But this was a major, it was a big stage, it was run by the RNA, it was not run by the PGA Tour. So I think that quote is going to have some impact moving forward. The fact that he came out and said it, I think was impressive, and I think it was the right thing to say, but it was kind of his kryptonite. You know, Koepka was really getting bashed down by having to deal with J.B. Holmes' slow play and his ridiculousness and the plum bobbing and all this stuff. So I think if Europe is watching this and they're thinking about future Ryder Cups, just pair Brooks Koepka with someone who plays pretty slow and they might be off to the races.
Oh my goodness, I didn't think about that angle. That's phenomenal. He doesn't mind being the bad guy if this helps a solution come about, right? Like, okay, I'll take the flack, but I'm going to put pressure on all these different governing bodies to let them know this is total BS. And I kind of admire that, because the easiest thing to do is to be dead silent or you back channel, but he's putting pressure on the sport. And I think it's something that'll help the sport to speed it up. I know baseball is dealing with this, and a lot of the major sports are saying, how can we be more fan friendly? How do we speed things up? And Brooks is putting pressure on them to have some answers.
I agree wholeheartedly. I think when the best player in the major championships is coming out and saying at a major championship that the pace of play was ridiculous, for lack of a better word, then I think that's going to be impactful. That's going to mean something. People who are in the governing bodies of the sport are going to have to take notice, and you know, hopefully they do something. And it's going to be one of those things where I guess we'll wait and see. But Brooks Koepka is not some middling tour pro. He's number one in the world. He's won more majors than anyone, certainly in the last couple of years. And his words are definitely going to carry some merit.
Any thoughts on Adam Hadwin, who finishes with a 73 yesterday to finish T57?
You know, not surprised that he was the low Canadian out of the three. Corey Connors and Austin Connolly didn't make the weekend. But, you know, Hadwin has played the Open Championship a handful of times, probably coming into the week had the best form out of the three guys. I think I had read a couple of times that his putter just, he couldn't get it rolling at all, let alone get it hot. So, those greens were running about 2 to 3 points slower than what they usually play on the PGA Tour. So not all that surprised that there was a bit of an adjustment period for him. But again, this is an opportunity to play all four rounds at one of the biggest tournaments in the sport, gives him the experience, and hopefully, you know, this really kind of bunts him down to having a good finish, certainly into the FedEx Cup playoffs. And then, you know, fingers crossed, hopefully into the President's Cup as well. So maybe not the results he wanted, but hopefully some good signs. And like I said, four rounds at a major, that's always good for you and your psyche moving forward.
Yeah, you know, it's an invaluable experience to be sure. On to another Canadian. It was at the Barbasol, the PGA event happening in North America, not at the Open, but Nick Taylor was scorched the track, I think 9-under on a Friday, and a pretty solid performance in, yes, obviously a inferior field to that of the Open, but a good performance. And these are the kind of results we need these Canadians to have if they're all going to keep their cards moving forward, right?
Exactly. And I mean, a good result on the PGA Tour is a good result. You know, he's still going to get the FedEx Cup points, and I'm pretty sure in doing some, you know, minute calculations, it seems like he's locked his PGA Tour card up for next year. Won't have to go back to Korn Ferry Tour finals or won't have to, you know, rely on some late season drama like last year. So, you know, a good to see, you know, a solid result and solid golf as well. Like you said, that Thursday 63 can only mean some good signs for Nick Taylor moving forward. Now he can afford a week off and get a little bit more rested and hopefully have a nice run as well later in the season. But, you know, again, we talk about this almost week in and week out. It's just a good, solid result by a Canadian on a you know, on a global tour. So good to see Nick Taylor play really good golf last week.
I'm putting you on the spot a bit, but what are the status of the seven or eight guys we've seen on tour? We know that Michael Gligich is likely to, I think he actually has got his card for next year, which is great news. So one more Canadian coming up, but who's in danger of having to go back to some sort of qualifying or to a lower level like the Korn Ferry Tour?
Yeah, so it looks like Corey Connors, Adam Hadwin, Mackenzie Hughes, Roger Sloan, and Nick Taylor are in for sure, you know, along with, you know, the usual suspects. And then we've got Michael Gligich coming up from the Korn Ferry Tour. Right, as of right now, Adam Svensson, David Hearn, and Ben Silverman are on the outside looking in. But they're all going to be playing the Barracuda Championship this week, which is the opposite field event to the WGC. They'll definitely be playing the Wyndham Championship as well, as long as they can get in the last event of the regular season. So hopefully the guys get on a bit of a run. And you know, as of right now, they're all in position to make it to the Korn Ferry Tour finals in order to potentially get their PGA Tour status again through that. But hopefully they don't have to do that. And hopefully we see some good results from the guys over the next 2 weeks.
And as you said last week or 2 weeks ago, Graham Dillette is a guy that will be back next year if things go as according to plan. He's been getting some tune-up golf, but not on the PGA. So he'll be on the clock as of next season for results to keep that card, right?
Exactly. So once September rolls around, he'll be, once he starts playing the PGA Tour again, he'll have just a certain amount of events to get the equal amount of FedEx Cup points as what was at the 125 mark the year before. So a bit of a sprint for Graham Dillette, but if he's taking all this time to come back fully 100% healthy, then hopefully it'll be no real issues and he can get back to doing what he loves.
Okay, one more for you to get us up to speed on what's happening with the women. Did I see Elayna Sharpe as well as Brooke Henderson paired in some sort of team event?
Yeah, they played together in a team event last week. First time that the LPGA Tour has done this. I thought it went over super well, seemed extremely well received. Everyone was having a great time. And not only that, but Brooke and Elayna played incredible golf together. They're very familiar with each other's games. They got off to a heck of a start on Thursday. They couldn't quite get it going on Saturday, which I think was the big difference for them. They played better ball and they just couldn't, or pardon me, they played alternate shot and they couldn't match how they played on Thursday. But they finished tied for fourth together. It was Elayna's best finish of the season. So nice for them to get paired up and have a little bit of momentum, especially because the LPGA Tour, in an odd sort of scheduling thing, is playing two majors back-to-back. This week is a major at the Evian Championship in France, and then next week is also a major, the Women's British, at Woburn Country Club, which is in England. So a big, big part of the LPGA Tour schedule is happening over the next couple weeks, and maybe we'll see some good Canadian results over in Europe.
Last one for you. You're at a special event today. Tell us what it is and what your involvement is.
Yeah, I'm emceeing David Hearn's charity event here in Toronto. It's for the Alzheimer's Society of Canada. They've raised almost $750,000 over the last couple of years for Alzheimer's research and awareness. So a super good cause here in Toronto, and I'm happy to be part of it.
Thanks for joining us. Have fun, and we will chat next week. Appreciate it, Adam.
Thanks, man. Looking forward to it.